Word. How are you all doing? So good to be with you in Texas. Such a privilege to preach. I feel so at home. I feel so welcomed. And just great to see what God's doing with you in all the services, the building project, and just an exciting present and an awesome future that's unfolding. And we love your pastors. They're just great people. Aren't they great people? Fantastic leaders. You know, not everyone in Christian ministry is a nice person. I get to travel. Some of the most miserable people are in ministry. But they're great people. They smile. They enjoy life. They're open. They're learning. They're good leaders, mature leaders, but they're open. They ask questions all the time. You know how healthy that is for your church? Shows that they're not know-it-alls. They're not people who've arrived. And just great to spend time with them. That you've been so hospitable to us. Thank you so much for welcoming our team and feeding us last night, taking us out. Just too wonderful. We so appreciate it. And it's such a privilege for me to be here. And I've enjoyed the last two services. And hope you enjoy this one. Would you let me know? Would you say amen or ouch? And I just wanted to introduce my family to you. If you look on screen, I brought my wife with me. And she's been married to me for 44 years next week. It's quite a long time. She deserves a medal. And you'll see my daughter in the middle, the tall one. And then my son with the hat on. And his wife, they run out one of our campuses, and those are two of my grandchildren. And then I've got another son we didn't have pictures of. He wasn't at that photo shoot, but we've got two teenage grandsons. And so that's our family, and we're all of us there serving in ministry. My daughter was in the marketing department. My son's a worship leader and campus pastor. And then I've got Pastor Dean with me, who runs our Durban campus. We have three campuses, one down at the coast. He runs that. He's in the corner in the dark there. Been running that for a good 8 years, I think it is. 10 years. And church is thriving, doing fantastic. We started there with 35 people. We have over 2,000 there on the weekend. So that campus is thriving. We're outgrowing that building. We've got another campus on the North Coast, which my son just started. We bought a building and started a campus. We have almost 300 there every weekend. It's only 3 months old. So God has been good to us. And we started a church that was just a very small handful of people, 70 people. And when I was sent there, because those years I was sent there, they said, why did you come here? Could they not find anyone else? So that was my beginning. But how many of you know God can take the foolish things of this world and he can use them if they're available to him and if they look to his word for wisdom? And now we see the church from average weekends, 13,000, 12,000 people in attendance on our three campuses. So we've just persevered, keep growing, and we're expecting that the best is yet to come. And so I'm not a know-all, but I'm on the journey. And we're doing something for God. We're touching our nation. We feed 51,000 meals per week to children from our three campuses. And we're trying to make a difference in the country. We've got 10 orphanages. And so that's some of what we're doing. So you've got to know who's speaking to you this morning. So I've already used up 3 minutes. It's terrible how long it takes just to say hi. Are you ready for the word? Put your hand on your heart if you know where it is. And let's believe together. Lord, thank you for your people. They're wonderful. They love you. They serve you. They've got up this morning, coming out, seeking your face, singing their hearts out, honoring you. And now I pray that you would speak into our hearts. We need a deposit. We need transformation. We need something to take home, practical, instructional. And I pray that you'd help me, that you'd give me clarity of speech, clarity of thought. I'm not jet lagged, but I can use this as an excuse. Give me grace. Help us to receive. Holy Spirit, would you speak? And at the close of the service, let people respond to Jesus because he's the life changer. We commit our time to you now. We expect the Holy Spirit to ignite the word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I felt like preaching three different messages because I just felt I wanted to give a deposit into the church and believe that. Also, if you know, if you preach one message and you don't get it right, it's like, oh, what a disappointment. But at least if you have three, you've got a chance of getting one right. What do you think? So this morning, I want to speak to you on something important. Young people might think it doesn't apply to them, but stay open because as the message goes on, it will unfold. But I do believe God's going to do a miracle in this meeting today because there's a touch of God on my life. I don't say that proudly. There's a touch of God on my life to pray for people in a certain area, which I'm going to do at the end of the meeting. So wait and see. As I start, I was reading a very good book, and I try to read at least 3 books a week. I know some people go, what? It's not as difficult as you think. Buy a book called Read Like a Leader, and you'll be amazed how you can read. So I'm trying to read 3 books a week because I'm getting old and I don't have a lot of time left. So I was reading this book. It's called It's Never Too Late and You're Never Too Old by Vic Johnson. How many of that's an interesting title? And he says here, the subtitle, 50 people who found success after 50. Now, my life has not been one where I had success when I was 25, 30. I've been a bit of a late bloomer in my life. And a lot of people are like that. They don't have instant success. They don't see the fruit they'd like to see. So they give up. And in the book, he mentions 50 people. I'm not going to mention all of them. He's an interesting man, Vic Johnson, because he was a politician. He was in business. He went bankrupt. He lost everything. But he's now written 10 books, many of them being Amazon bestsellers. He's a motivational speaker. And he has his own television show. So he's a very interesting man. Speaks from experience. And he mentioned several people. I want to mention just four of them to you who found success after 50. You may have heard of a man called Colonel Sanders. You'll remember at 65 he was flat broke. 65 is not a good time to be flat broke. Went on the road with his chicken recipe, and by 75 he had found major success. You'll know 600 Colonel Sanders outlets were running by the time he was 75. And then he went on to live to 90. So it's never too late and you're never too old. Isn't that true? But that's not the title of the message. The second person is Richard Adams. He wrote a book called Watership Down. Some of you are old enough to remember that. He was a civil servant working in the UK government and in a dull job and a boring life. And then he wrote this book, and they took the book. It was published when he was 52 years old, and they made a movie out of it, and it sold 50 million copies. Amazing. And his life was never the same, and he never looked back, and he's since written 20 works after that famous book and movie. The third guy is an interesting guy. His name is Momofuku Ando. He died in 2007. Many of you probably wouldn't know his name unless you're familiar with what he did, but he invented what is known as ramen noodles. After World War II, he saw the need for it, and he worked on various things. He ended up in prison. He had all sorts of things. But then he discovered this recipe at 61, made noodles in a cup. He was given an award by the Japanese government, a medal for his contribution to society. Pretty amazing, eh? By inventing noodles. You see, it's never too late and you're never too old. And then the last one, you just may have heard of him, Clint Eastwood. Now, whatever you think of him, you know, some Christians, if you mention someone who may not be a person who is a follower of Jesus, everyone straight away shuts them off. No, you can learn something from everybody. You can learn something from life. You can learn by looking at a flower. It doesn't have to be a Christian flower. Just look at a flower and you can learn. Isn't that true? And not everybody who is not a Christian says things that are not true. That's why you can quote Gandhi and you're not a heretic. Anyway, let me move on. I'm getting too relaxed here. I'm getting feeling at home. Okay. But Clint Eastwood, interesting enough, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly was his movie that really brought him into the forefront. 1966, he was only 26 years old. But he didn't earn his first Oscar until he was 62. Long time to wait. I think he was pretty good in the meantime. I mean, those eyes and that cigar. Should have got an Oscar earlier. Anyway, he became the oldest director at 72, and he won an Academy Award for Best Picture for Million Dollar Baby, 72 years old. But I like this. He reinvented himself. He's appeared in 50 movies, and at 86, he made the recent movie Sully, which I watched and I thought was a pretty amazing movie. It was a box office success, $186 million it turned over. And the point is this: it's never too late, and you're never too old. You might think that your time has not come. You might think God has passed you by. You might think you're never going to get a husband, a wife, a boyfriend, a girlfriend. You're never going to get a good job. You're never going to have success. You're never going to get healing. You think that God has forgotten about you. But I'll tell you what, God is busy working, and it's not too late. And I want us to read a text before I give you the title this morning, because you're probably thinking, what are you speaking on if you're not speaking on that? So let's read a text. And we haven't got to our main text yet, but this is our sub-main text, the one pretext before the other text. So John chapter 5, I know I've got to tell a lot of jokes to keep you laughing. John chapter 11 and verse 5, watch this. Let me first precurse this. You'll remember that Lazarus was a great friend of Jesus. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were friends of Jesus. Jesus heard that Lazarus had died. Now what does he do? He doesn't jump up, he heard that he was sick. He didn't jump up and run there. Notice it says, although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Why? Finally, he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. She was clearly miffed because Lazarus had died, not coming out. Where were you? It says, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. How many of you have ever felt like in your life, if only they didn't do this, if only this never happened, if only that never happened, if only this would, if only I'd never said that. It's terrible to live in if only. But I love the next sentence. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. And then, as you know, he called the dead back into the living, and Lazarus came to life, and the whole place was shocked, and there was a complete amazement among the people. It was one of the greatest miracles, Jesus raising a dead person. And I've entitled the message today, Even Now, God Can Give It to You. Even now, God can give it to you. Because no matter what you face, no matter what has died in your life, no matter if you feel you're too old, if you feel it's not going to come to pass, you've prayed about it and there's no result, I want to tell you today, you need to believe that even now, God can give it to you. Because He's able, but it's dependent on your faith. Do you know that although Jesus loved them, He waited because His timing is different to ours. You might be waiting for a husband, you might be waiting for a job, you might be waiting for a wife, a career opportunity, own your own car, own your own home, open a business, have a strong life, see success and it's eluded you. I'll tell you what, even now, God can give it to you. Always remember that if you study Scripture, you'll see that a lot of people who entered into success had to wait for God's timing. Caleb was 85 when he went into the Promised Land. Most people are in a rocking chair ready to meet their maker. He was about to step in to his inheritance. The Bible says that Moses was 80. No wonder he took strain when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt into the Promised Land. 80 years old. Most people at 80 are winding down. He was about to wind up. Because you're never too old and it's never too late. And even now, God can give it to you. Can you say amen? And Abraham was 79 when God called him. You say, well, you don't know my situation. You don't fully understand where I've been through and where my life is currently. I'll tell you what. When Jesus reached that place where a woman came with her only child, he was dead. The widow at Nain, she's carrying her dead son out. And she encounters Jesus. Guess what happens? When Jesus encounters dead things, they come to life. And he raises that boy up. And there's a complete turnaround. And I believe today God can bring a complete turnaround in your life. Even if something has died in your life, He can bring it to life. Even now, God can give you whatever you need. Do you believe that? Now, I want to read a text here because this is quite a long text, but I think it's important because I believe God can speak. How many of you have ever experienced or got to know someone who is barren? Someone who can't have children. It's the most frustrating thing. People can't have children. They struggle, they feel inadequate. In the Old Testament days, if you couldn't have children as a woman, you were considered useless because that was your purpose. You were a woman, you were meant to carry children. If you were carrying children, you weren't carrying children, what are you doing? Why are you alive? So it was a disgrace, it was a feeling of inadequacy, feeling of humiliation. And we can learn a lot from the story of a woman who was barren. But it's not just in our society today that people can't have children. A lot of people are barren in being fruitful in their lives. They don't seem to be able to succeed. They can't seem to grow. Can't seem to grow their marriages, their lives. They can't seem to grow their careers. They seem to hit a ceiling and they feel there's the talented and then there's me. There's people who are successful and then there's me. And they feel frustrated. But I want to tell you, even now, God can give it to you. Even if there's been a barrenness in your life, you need to trust Him. So I want to read a text here from 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 1. Are you all breathing? Alive? Ready to read? You're quiet as mice until I tell a joke. You see? 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. You can read on the screen with me. And I suggest if you've got a phone, you all make your notes, unless you're texting someone you're interested in. You can take pictures of the slides. It does help. In our church, we have an outline. People get a paper outline printed, and they fill in the blanks, and they have the scriptures. So it keeps everyone connected. And those who don't know Jesus can walk into a meeting, pick it up, and they can read with us, and they can take it home. So that's kind of our evangelism philosophy. And so this, when I preach overseas, it's quite difficult because I've got a lot of content. But so far, so good? Yes. Great. So let's read from 1 Samuel chapter 1. And it tells us the story of a woman who was barren. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zaphs, an Ephraimite. That's just so that you know who he is. Verse 2, he had two wives. Here's already a problem. One was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Now, here's a significant phrase. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh when Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Year after year, they went up, they did their thing, but there was very little that took place in the life of one of the women, Hannah. Verse 4, whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. I mean, you know, people who have stuff can be irritating to the have-nots. When you're trying to save up for a car and someone arrives with their big one next to you, they don't say a word, but you're just like, where did you get that? Probably stole it. Someone gave it to you. Because I'm a better Christian than you, and the Lord hasn't given me one. I know, in South Africa they're like that. I know you're not like that here. Now notice here, verse 7, this went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, these people were in church. Her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Dumb question husbands ask. Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? No, you dummy. We husbands ask dumb questions. And so here's this stress. Now Hannah goes and she prays. We don't have time to read all that. The Bible says she's like a drunk person before the Lord. Eli comes and he's like, what are you doing, woman? He thinks she's drunk, but she's calling on God. Then she says, Lord, if you give me a child, I'll give him to you all the days of his life. God blesses her with Samuel, and Samuel's born, and he's amazing. He's hugely significant. He makes up for all the years of lack, and he becomes a great voice in Israel. Not a word he says falls to the ground. So the late bloomer can overtake the person who went ahead and was successful. Never forget that, because even now, God can give it to you if you trust him. And then when Hannah had received, she prayed in chapter 2. I want to read this because it might seem tedious, but I want you to read what she says because this is what God can do. Chapter 2 and verse 1, then Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord, and there is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance, for the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. God's a turnaround God. Can you see that? Those who are full hire themselves out for food, but those who were hungry are hungry no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children. God does more than enough. He gives you the perfection. 7 is perfection. But she who had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust, lifts the needy from the ash. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken. The Most High will thunder from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, and the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. This is the nature of who God is and what he wants to do. And if you feel aggrieved, you feel overlooked, you feel barren in your life in the area of success, in the area of having children, and you feel there are Peninnah types in your world who are taunting you, then God wants you to know a couple of things this morning, that even now he can give it to you. So 4 simple things, which I'll spend a bit of time on, that I want to tell you today that you need to do as you trust God to give it to you today. Number 1, you need to trust God for your late start to exceed those who had a head start. Trust God for your late start to exceed those who had a head start. Because there are often people in life who had a head start on you. It seems like they're getting all the blessing. It seems like we're not. It seems like everyone else gets it, but you don't. But even now, God can give it to you if you trust Him and you expect from Him special grace. Forgive me for reading so much scripture this morning, but the Bible is the key to our lives. Ecclesiastes 9 says, "The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all." I'll tell you what, there are people that may have gone ahead of you, but one day you will have gone ahead of them. And you will be on the list of people who've surpassed others and known for it, and God will have honored your life. Many of you will remember and have seen in the news the amazing story of the woman called Susan Boyle. Susan Boyle was just a young lady from a small town in the UK, and she went onto that television program, Britain's Got Talent. Way back in 2009, she had an acute disability. She was teased at school, and at 12, she joined the church choir. She was a nobody. She was an ordinary person. They laughed at her. She made a karaoke tape that someone encouraged her to make, and she was not photogenic. She wasn't marketable or anything like that. And people laughed at her when she appeared on Britain's Got Talent. The judges sniggered and like, who's this woman? And then she began to sing, and everybody was mesmerized. Pretty amazing. She won, and by singing that song, "I Dreamed a Dream," they were stunned. And she's the oldest person to debut an album at 48 years old. That album went on. This is amazing. That album went on to sell a massive amount of copies. It's the album, most pre-ordered album before it came out. And she's had 300 million hits on YouTube. They say that she's ranked second highest in popularity to the Beatles in life. Talk about a late starter, surpassing those who had a head start. What's in your life that seems barren, that seems over? Hold on to your dreams. Trust God. Even now, He can give it to you. And it's so easy to see others as having an advantage over us. But God heard and He helped her, and He wants to do the same for us. You know, when they were together, if you study the story here in the passage, you'll see when they were together in church, there was a sense that they felt inadequate. You can come to a church like this and sit next to someone, and maybe while you're writing, you glance down and you see the ring and you're like, you know, I haven't got one of those. My husband doesn't buy me stuff like that. Wonder where she got the money. They clearly have got. And you can start to feel inadequate, but I'll tell you what, if you trust God in your life for your needs, I'm not talking about stuff like rings and that, but just trust God for your needs. Because in church, sometimes the haves and have-nots, the gap can be noticeable. Because church is the place you go to meet God, but you meet people too, don't you? And there's that guy who's not that good-looking, but geez, check that girl. And we ask this question, what does she see in him? Well, that's exactly it. She sees something in him, not on him. And we can feel like, you know, we're never going to get someone. We're never going to get a partner. And we've been twice divorced and so our life is over. No, don't live like a victim. Even now, God can give you, if you're faithful to Him and you trust Him, He can give you fruitfulness in your life. Business, finance, blessing. You may be married to someone. You've never had children. And you look at other people's children. Oh, look at them. And you can almost be envious. You know what envy is? Envy is wishing you had something someone else had, but then speaking evil of them. The world's filled with envy. Go on Twitter and you see what people say on Instagram. Can I say this? Do you know what tweeting is? Tweeting comes from birds. It means to chirp. Christians shouldn't be chirpers. They should be encouragers. If you're on Twitter and you're a chirper, stop it. Thus saith the visiting speaker. Now you can come to church and feel like everyone else is ahead of you. But I want to tell you today, God has got a plan for your life. He wants to bless you and you need to trust Him. And even now, God can give it to you. Don't have a them and us mentality. Don't think that it's not going to happen. I was watching a TV program the other day. I hate to admit it, on TLC. It's not my particular choice of channel, but I was bored and I went there. And I saw a program called The Undateables. And it was all these people that either they were very short or they had disabilities, they had learning disabilities, they were slow cognitively, and you know, most people would look at that and have a good laugh. And I felt sorry for them. And then as the story unfolded, it showed how the hand of God was in bringing unusual people together. God's got someone for everyone. And if you're a Christian, you need to believe that those who've had a late start, God will give a head start. Do you believe that this morning? You know, Mozart only was successful at 46, which was old in those days. And many people have gone on to do things late in life, and they've seen amazing fruit. Trust God. I was reading an interesting story that was circulating. It was an email, and you may have heard of it. It's an email story. And the writer said that he experienced something on his first day back at college, and it was a very interesting thing. The professor introduced himself to the students, and he told them to get to know someone in the room that they didn't know. And he said a little old lady tapped him on the shoulder and greeted him. She said, "Hi, handsome. My name is Rose. I'm 87 years old. Can I give you a hug?" He laughed and he responded, "Of course you can." After the embrace, he asked her, "Why are you at college at such a young, innocent age?" Clever boy. Her response, "I always dreamed of having a college education, and now I'm getting one." And graduate she did. She died in her sleep 1 week after her graduation. And over 2,000 students attended her funeral, and they said, they gave a tribute to Rose, the wonderful woman who taught by example that it's never too late to be all you can possibly be. If you feel it's over for you, I want to tell you, even now, God can give it to you. Even now, God can give it to you. This church has had to wait a long time to get permission to build, but even now, God can give it to you. You're applying for loans, and it seems like the devil's blocking, and you're not sure if it's the Lord blocking, but even now, God can give it to you. Jesus delayed because he knew that the timing of the Lord would be perfect and a greater miracle would take place when he did step up. Even now, God can give it to you. Number two, the second thing you need to do, are you still breathing? Is worship and pray in your barrenness, trusting God's timing for your fruitfulness. The worst thing you can do when you're facing lack is to get bitter and negative and morose. No, you need to worship and pray in your barrenness, trusting in God's timing for your fruitfulness. You'll remember when we read the text, it said year after year, they went up to worship. You need to come to church and give your best, give of your finances, serve the Lord, and not look at what you're lacking. You need to trust him that in good time, God will honor you and see you. They didn't stop going. His wife didn't say, Hannah didn't say, "I'm not going up to worship. This is nonsense. This is pointless. Every time I go up, she makes my life a misery. There she is dancing in the Lord, and I have to stand here and watch it." So they went up year by year, and you need to stay faithful to God, because as you trust him, the Lord will honor you. And it's so important to understand it, because the devil will use people in your life who've got things to make you feel inadequate. Did you know in Job chapter 1, it says that let me read it to you. It says, one day when the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, Satan also came with them. Do you know that Satan comes to church? He comes to church to highlight what you lack. He comes to highlight what's different with you and other people. He comes to make you feel like you're inferior, to get you to stop worshiping God. But you need to keep coming, and you need to keep trusting God. And because she kept going up, her prayers were eventually answered. So whatever you're facing today, keep going. Don't stop. Don't let up. Because God's got his hand on your life. And as you sometimes are just faithful and you just keep going, sometimes you surpass the people who are talented. Steve Farrar is someone you probably know in your country. He wrote a book called Finishing Strong. It's become a classic. He tells the story in there of three evangelists in the year 1945. And he says that there was a rookie evangelist by the name of Billy Graham, 27 years old, and he was drawing crowds of 30,000 a night. He was from YFC and he was doing really well. But he says there were another two guys that are not that well known. Most people haven't heard of them. Chuck Templeton and a man called Bron Clifford. And he asked the question, have you heard of these people? And he says they were accomplishing the same things Billy Graham was accomplishing. They were preaching to huge crowds and they were considered far more talented than Billy Graham, actually. He says that most observers would probably have put their money on Templeton. The 1946 National Association of Evangelicals published an article saying that he was the most used by God in that year. But he says just 5 years later, Templeton left the ministry to pursue a career as a radio and TV commentator, and he decided he no longer was a believer in Jesus Christ. By 1950, he no longer believed in the validity of the claims of Christ. And then he says Bron Clifford, by 1954, just 9 years later, alcohol and financial irresponsibility had destroyed him. He wound up leaving his wife, their two Down syndrome children, And at just 35 years of age, this one great preacher died from cirrhosis of liver in a rundown motel on the edge of Amarillo, Texas. You all know where that is, eh? I presume so. He had lost his family, his health, his ministry, and his life. And his last job before dying was selling used cars in Texas. But Billy Graham, the slow one to emerge, was the most fruitful, and his fruit has stood the test of time. You might feel like God has overlooked you. Just keep worshiping and trusting God in your barrenness to give you fruitfulness. You know, there was a time when I used to go to conferences overseas. It's quite funny. And I'd attend, especially Hillsong Conference. There's 20,000 people there. And about 20 years ago, I'd go to the conference and I'd be in the guest lounge because we're personal friends and we're part of the Hillsong family, personal friends of Pastor Brian and Bobby. They've been our friends for years. We knew their dad and so on. And anyway, I'd go into the lounge and people would say to me, oh, where are you from? And I'd say, South Africa. And they'd immediately ask me this question. So are you from Rhema Church? Are you in Pastor Ray McCauley's church? No, I pastor my own church. Oh. How many people have you got? Oh, I've got about 300. Oh, and that would be the last time they talked to me and they'd be gone. I'd meet people and they'd say, where's your church? I'd say on Middle Road in Morningside in Sandton. You know, on that main road, I go past there every day. I've never seen it. And I'd be like, I would, because we're working hard, praying like you guys, worshiping, practicing, serving, doing the best for the children. But we weren't large. And I always felt like everyone else was just, you know, instant success. They had the guest speakers and the big names and they had the money and everything. But we just kept going in our barrenness, serving and building. And you know what? Even now, God gave it to us. And even now, He gave us. And then He gave us the neighboring properties. We bought 10 houses around us. And we just continue to expand. And today, when I go to a conference, guess what? They come looking for me. Are you Pastor Andre? You're at an amazing church. I'd love to come to South Africa sometime. And I'm like, yeah, faith without hinting is dead. Because people seek me out now. And if you ask anyone now, Rivers Church, oh, I know where that is. Because we were on television, we're prominent, but it wasn't always like that. And there were times when I wanted to give up. I even thought of immigrating. Let me just go live in another country, join a church, be a pastor, and care for people. Because this is just not, but you know what? You just need to stay faithful. Are you with me? You need to keep worshiping the Lord and honoring Him in your barrenness, trusting Him for His timing for your fruitfulness. Am I helping you today? And you'll be amazed at what God can do in your life. He turns things around. And in ministry, it can even be hard when you think that you've got something on your life and it doesn't seem to happen. God will give it to you. Number three. Look at your neighbor and say, number three. It's giving you something to do so you don't get bored. Number three, never mistake the sympathy of men for the fruitfulness of God. Elkanah was very sympathetic of his wife, and what happens in our lives is we end up becoming victims, and we become people who people sympathize with. Oh, there's that couple. Shame. They can't have kids. Oh, there's that girl. Pity she's never found a boyfriend, eh? And that guy, he's such a nice, you know, he serves in the children's church, but can't find a girl. Shame. And we become objects of sympathy. But we shouldn't start to live under the sympathy of people and mark ourselves as, this is my lot in life. We need to expect the fruitfulness of God. And thank you for your sympathy, but I'm on a journey towards fruitfulness. Now, I'm not going to settle here. Even though it seems like Jesus is late, I know God's timing is perfect, and even now He can give it to me. And I'm going to see that my life goes ahead of some who've had a head start on me, and I believe that God's timing is perfect, and I'm going to keep going up and serving the Lord until I get my fruitfulness. And I'm not going to allow sympathy to keep me in a certain place. It's so easy to get into that. And Hannah trusted the Lord. She prayed. She pressed into God. And she ended up having 6 children. And one of them was very significant, who was Samuel. And we need to trust God to give us more because He does turn the tables on our difficulties. Never mistake the sympathy of men for the fruitfulness of God. I read a story about a girl in your country called Amber Portwood. She was on MTV, and a famous program here, young people would know it, 16 and Pregnant. None of you watch that, but you may have heard of it. No one agrees to watching things like Game of Thrones. No Christians watch that, but you. Yeah, okay. So Amber Portwood, 16 and Pregnant, and she tells her story. She was on another spin-off show called Teen Mom, and she was on drugs. She had anxiety. She felt pregnant. She rode a bike off a cliff, ended up 3 months in prison, 2 months in a rehabilitation center. She was a suicidal person, addicted to painkillers. But eventually her life got so bad, she actually went to the prison and handed herself in. Isn't that amazing? She said, take me in. I'm a criminal. I've done these things. And she spent 17 months in prison. She only saw her daughter 3 times in that time. And she said in a book she wrote called Never Too Late, she said that in prison something happened. All the same kind of people that were like victims who had been through, they came and gave each other sympathy. And she said she started to realize that if she gravitated to people like that, who all got together and cuddled each other and sympathized with each other, she'd never get anywhere in life. And she said, even though her dad was abusive and he did a lot of wrong things and he abandoned her, she said, one thing my dad taught me, that no matter how bad your life gets and no matter what goes wrong, it's never too late to turn things around. And she began to come out of prison and decided she's going to turn her life around. She's not going to allow herself to take the sympathy of people and be part of these groups that meet after prison. And I know they can be helpful, but she said, my life's going to go forward. And she said this. She said, everyone makes mistakes. Some of us make really big ones. But the biggest mistake of all is thinking nothing will ever get better. It's never too late to make things better. How many of you know for a Christian, it's never too late to trust God for our breakthrough and our blessing? Number four, the fourth thing is this. Expect that which is dead to arise and surprise even the living. If in your life there's a dead womb, there's dead circumstance, there's dead relationships, expect God to do what Jesus did for Lazarus. Even though it seems like it's over, God is able to turn things around and he's able to raise the dead. Hannah shocks everyone with her 6 children. And one of them is hugely significant. God turns the tables and he blesses her. And you can expect God to bring that which is dead and to arise and to surprise even the living. It's amazing what God can do. Susan Tollefson, I was reading about, Britain's oldest mom, she shocked everyone when she gave birth to a daughter at the age of 57. And she'd waited years for the child, and eventually her daughter Frey was born in 2008. The child is now 8 years old. She's 65 years old. She's on her way to 70, and she's got an 8-year-old child. But she got what she was expecting and believing for, and it surprised people. I mean, it's a remarkable thing. And God wants to be able to do that, and he wants to be able to transform. And you can sometimes think, well, how is he going to do it? As I begin to move to a close this morning, I want to show you a DVD in a moment. There's a place called the Montesloschel. Look at your neighbor and say, Montesloschel. It's difficult, eh? It's a beautiful museum in Austria. And that museum is still standing, and it's got an interesting background to it. The person who built that museum was a man who promised his wife a retreat for her birthday. He was the Count of Hohenems from Salzburg in 1612, and he said to his wife, I'm going to build you a holiday retreat. We're going to be able to go there. And about 2-3 weeks before her birthday, he remembered, hey, I made a promise. He went and he called all the bricklayers, plasterers, and masons and carpenters together. And they all rallied together and they built that place in 3 weeks. That building goes down in history as the building that's fastest been built in the world. Still hasn't been beaten. And you know what? When God wants to do something, he's able to instruct all the angels and people in heaven and all the principalities and power. He's able to mobilize everything so that in an instant you can get what you believe for. And even now, God can give you what you need. He can raise the dead, and you need to trust him. We had a couple in our church, and I want to show you their testimony. Am I still good to go a little bit? It's a testimony of this couple. They didn't have children. She was on our staff. And God's put a touch on me. I've prayed for people, so be careful when we pray today. When I pray for people, they have children. My daughter-in-law, who you saw with 2 grandchildren, she had a fallopian tube that was faulty. She had a pregnancy in it. She couldn't have children. They told her she'd never have. And we called her forward with a whole lot of people in church one day. 14 people came forward, and almost all of them have fallen pregnant. She was one of them. And one of the most beautiful children we have of our 4 grandchildren is Chloe, who is a miracle birth. Even now, God can give it to you if you trust him. Let's have a look at the screen.
We were in Rustenburg.
We grew up in Rustenburg.
So we grew up in Rustenburg, and Alex was a good kid at the school. I was the naughty one. And
still the case. I'm still the
goody. My family are very fertile, so we didn't think that we would experience a problem of having a child. Only to go through tests, and tests and tests and disappointment after disappointment and finding out, you know, that this is not going to happen.
We went to some fertility doctors, specifically one, and he told us we'd never have children. So that was quite devastating. I mean, for me it was tough. Green, it felt like a death sentence. And we pray every day, asking God for his blessing and his children, you know, the children we're trusting him for. So sometimes Green would say, I'm not in the mood to pray. You know, we've prayed this prayer over and over. Just enough today. Can we take a break?
Yeah, it was for me personally, it was a very long journey because I've had multitudes of friends that have gone, that have had babies, that have had like three kids in the time that we were waiting to have Benjamin. And do you know what? We never gave up hope. We just continued to trust the Lord. Even when we saw other people's children, we decided instead of being resentful towards the fact that they've got kids and we don't, we just started celebrating other people's children and celebrating God's goodness. But I think the wait was a long wait.
I think it was just 1 year and I said that's enough. You know, we were trying to avoid not to go to fertility doctors and stuff like that. And I said, well, you know, this is the only option that's left that we haven't tried. And you know, if we haven't fallen pregnant naturally, let's do this. And if God doesn't want to bless us or if it's not his plan, it won't happen. And I think that's where the whole thing miraculously started. The one egg just totally just took off, you know, it's like grabbed life and God's anointing was on Benjamin.
And it was a real celebration when our families found out that we were having this child, because I think to some point, even though they were praying for us, they kind of like had given up because we had been married for so long. So it was like, well, this isn't going to happen, you know. And yeah, the birth was a fairly uncomplicated process.
From the moment I walked into the operating theatre, I was just grinning. Yeah, I don't know if it was nervous energy. I was just smiling, big smile. And next moment, we saw this little head pop up. And all I remember is big eyes. We still got a picture of him. These little cap, and he just was blinking like this. He was
staring.
Just staring at Karina. So I don't know if he knew what was going on. And it was just that moment you'll never forget. That's your life has changed forever.
But I think the wait was a long wait. I've said to Alex on numerous occasions, if I could have had Ben, you know, Benjamin 10 years ago, it would have been totally different. But then in hindsight, we don't have the story to tell and we don't have a testimony to share with people who are going through the same, you know, same difficulties.
It's amazing. We prayed so long and hard. And what God's given us, we could never have imagined or prayed for. Because he's just such, it's hard to describe. He's just so much more than every day. We're just so grateful for him.
You know, as we come to a close this morning, it's so important for us not just to believe God for children, because there may be people in this room who are barren, who are not able to have children. I want to pray for people like that if there are any here today. And please don't be embarrassed. We want to believe God with you, because it's no greater joy than for you to have children. But in your life, you can be barren. People mock you because, or secretly say things about you because of what you lack. But I'll tell you what, sometimes after years and years and years, things come to pass. And there may be people here tonight, today, you need to trust God. Doesn't matter if you're 20, you're 30, you say, oh, when's it going to come? Trust God. I want to tell you one last story, and I'm going to pray with you. I heard a story of a woman called Mrs. Langsley, and I think I tell it in one of my books. It might be in Finding a Way to Win or one of the books, but I tell the story of Mrs. Langsley, 76-year-old woman who had stomach pains. So she went to the doctor, and she said, I've got this terrible pain in my stomach, 76 years old. So he said, look, I felt her stomach. He said, I think there's something there. Let me have a look at you. So he put her on a bed and he did a bit of thing. He said, okay, she's got something in her body. So he put her through an x-ray machine and they took a picture. And he noticed in the picture there's a pen in her stomach. So he went to her and he said to her, Mrs. Langsley, you've got a pen in your stomach. She said, I told him. He said, what do you mean? He said, I told my husband. He said, what are you talking about? She said, 25 years ago, I had a sore throat and I went and I took a pen. And I was looking in the mirror, and I swallowed it. And I went to my husband, I said, I swallowed a pen. He said, I'm a silly woman. He said, you're talking nonsense. He said, I swallowed a pen. He said, okay, it'll come out, then we'll see. and it didn't come out. And he said, you see, you're a crazy woman. Well, they operated on her and they cut her stomach open and they took the pen out. It was one of those felt tip pens. When they opened it up, it still wrote. You know, when I read that story, I realized that often in our lives, that people laugh at us about things we claim to feel and experience and know in God. But what's the in you that people have laughed at is still about to write your destiny, that you need to hold on to and not push aside. I want to tell you today, even now, God can give it to you. Bow your head with me. We're going to pray. All across this room this morning, I don't want to embarrass anybody. I want to believe God this morning. If you're here today and you're not able to have children, I'd like to pray for you. If you're a couple, individual, if you're a woman on your own, I want you to stand up today because I think you need to do that. And I want to believe God to pray for you, if I can do that this morning. Just stand up and say, yes, that's me. We've had challenges as a couple. And we'd like to pray for you. I'm not going to single you out or call you up onto the platform. I'm just going to pray for you this morning. There may be no one here like that. There may be people here. I just had a sense I need to preach on this today. And I think it may be in the Lord. So if that's you, would you just stand up and say, yes, that's me. We've been to clinics. We've had things happen. And I want to trust God. I'd like to pray for you because I believe God could do something for you. Don't worry about people around you. This is about you receiving. Hannah was so desperate that she looks like she was drunk. You're going to really believe that God can do it this morning. And so maybe you could just stand up and we can believe God together and we can pray. Maybe we can lay hands on you. Brandon, can we do that? We take the time to do that? We just put our hands on these ladies and we can pray. Maybe one of the other pastors can just lay hands. And let's believe together this morning for God to do something amazing, for Him to bring healing and for that word, even now, God can do something. That your late start can exceed those who had a head start. And I believe in Jesus' name, God can do something in this place this morning. And Father, we bring these ladies to you this morning. We pray for your grace, for your healing, for your supernatural work. What you've done before, you can do again. You're the God who turns the tables. You transform things. You can mobilize the angels and you can mobilize the cells and you can do anything. You're the God that transforms. And I pray that you'd bring life, that you'd give them the fruit of the womb, fruitfulness, Lord, and that you'd bless their lives and that they would go from barrenness to fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. We expect to hear testimonies of this day. We're trusting you and we declare, even as your word says, even now, we believe you can give it to us in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Won't you take a seat and let's just bow our heads one more time quickly all across the room. If you're here today and you need to make a recommitment to God because you've become discouraged, maybe you got discouraged and disappointed, God hasn't come through for you on things, I'd like to pray with you this morning and renew your commitment. This is not about making you stand up or calling you to the platform. I want to pray for you because I believe that when you leave here, things can be different. If you're here today and you've never invited Jesus into your life, maybe you could let me pray for you this morning. I'm not going to call you out. Embarrass you. I'm not even going to make you stand up. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand in a moment. But if you'd like Jesus in your life, or you'd like to recommit your life, you say, you know what? I feel like I've been left behind. I'm a bit discouraged this morning. I want Jesus to come into my life. I want God to do something new. Let me pray for you this morning. Just slip your hand up, raise it up. Say, yes, that's me today. I felt God spoke to me in this meeting. Would you pray for me? If you're the only one in the meeting, that's okay. But I believe there's many. Thank you. Thank you. Just raise that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Number of people, yes, thank you. You say, you know what, I felt like it was over, but God said to me, no, it's not. And would you pray with me? I want to recommit. I want to get back on the journey. I don't want to be bitter. I've even felt resentful of other Christians at times. But I know today God can do something. Just pop that hand up quickly, and we're going to pray together in Jesus' name. That's awesome. Hands all over. That's great. You can put them down. What we're going to do is all of us are going to pray, and that'll encourage the people who raise their hands. So, church, will you pray with me like this? Dear Jesus. We open our hearts to you today. Come into our lives, Lord. Activate dead things. Make us alive. Fill us with faith, with hope, and expectation. Cause us to be fruitful, to grow, to enlarge, and to exceed those who've had a head start. We trust you, Lord, to change us, to grow us, and to take us forward. And we thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for allowing me. Thank you for having me extra couple of minutes.
Thank you.